Blessed be your holy name. God, we love you. God, I don't know how to pray as I ought. Hallelujah. I don't know what to ask for as I ought, but you know all things. You know what we have need of tonight. Hallelujah. Help us to find it in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, when we're foolish, be wise. When we lack understanding, be full of understanding for our sake. And lead us tonight in Jesus' name. Lead us tonight. Praise God. Help us to not deceive ourselves and live deceived, but to live, Lord, fulfilled. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I want to live for God. I want to serve Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let me say something, and then we're just going to worship a while here and sing. When you come to a place like this, we're not the only ones, and I will not be so naive as to think we are. We're not the only ones in New England, even. But when you come to a place in an atmosphere like this, it's going to compel you, it's going to challenge you, it's going to encourage you to be better than what you are. And you have the choice to stick with it or not. Praise the Lord. You'll never find Jesus to be a God who will just pamper you to heaven. He's just not going to do it. If you're the type that you just want to be pampered, you're in the wrong place. Acknowledged, spent time with, yes. Helped, loved, cherished, yes. But pampered, no. Praise the Lord. Please understand what I'm saying here tonight. If you're here, you want to be here. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going to challenge you to be more than what you are, more than how you think. He's going to help you. He's going to elevate you. You cannot reverse Him. He's not Plato. We are. But what He does in compelling us to be more than what we are, it's a good thing. And we need to allow Him to do that. We need to just allow Him to get us up and going in the direction that we need to go in life. Amen? Amen. Let's clap our hands to Him and give Him a praise. President of all presidents, Captain of our salvation, Lord of lords, King of kings, blessed and only potentate. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Sister Lydia.
I will never let
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise, even if you feel like he ain't. He's always worthy. He's always worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I already said that. Praise God. Amen. Turn the echo off back there. There's a mimicker in the house. It's good to be here tonight. I didn't want to hold anybody back. If we're ready, I'll go.
Thank you.
Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12. Tonight, I'm not mad at anybody, and I'm not mad at God. I've met too many people in life who are mad at God because things didn't go their way. Yeah. Look, you're not young enough, and you're not old enough to be mad at God. Take a brief microsecond and get angry with yourself that you're foolish enough to be angry with God. Yes. Instead of humbling yourself and praying and magnifying the Lord. Yes. Praise God. It'll solve everything. It'll bring more answers to more questions if we just surrender ourselves and just love God with all of our hearts.
Yes.
Amen. We don't have life enough to spend all of our time questioning. And because people who do that, they end up not living for God and they die lost. So the best thing you could do is love him with all your heart, and God will bring answers that you're looking for. Amen? Hebrews 12, but I said that nicely. I'm not against anybody. I just sometimes if there's a need to say it to this angry world we live in, where people are so quick to blame God but not live for him. Wherefore, Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me read that one more time, if you wouldn't mind. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besiege us or beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We all have a race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the race, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, which in one definition simply means he overcame. He made it. He finished his race. He did what he came to do. Now it's on us to do what we need to do so we can say the very same thing that Paul testified to Timothy. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I'm ready to go. Henceforth is a crown laid up for me, and not only for me, but also all them that love him and love his appearing. Would you give him praise right now before you're seated? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Great crowd here tonight for Thursday night. I like that. Hallelujah. I hope it gets others jealous. Too tired to come to church tonight. No, I'm being kind, but I'm being serious too. Jesus wants you here. So be here. Some want more time and extra time, but they can't be here when we do have time. So, you know, you got to show some stuff before you get more stuff. And, all right, let me not get on that. There's verses here. My topic tonight is run your race. Run your race. You ever been around people who just complain about everything all the time? Yeah. You ever gone to school and it's track time, you know, gym time, and the coach takes you out to the track and You don't want to run. And you're there to run a mile. You've never run before. It's going to take you the whole gym class to just finish the mile. And you stand there and you listen to others complaining. They haven't even started yet. And they're all, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. They're already on the negative, and they haven't even started yet. They haven't even gone the distance. They haven't even walked up to the starting line, and they're already talking about how they can't do it. If we could spend more time just doing and less time talking about what we can't do, we'd get more done in life. We'd have less on the procrastination list and more on the done list. Praise the Lord. We've all got to-do lists. We just don't have everything on the to-do list on the done list. Hallelujah. But we have a race. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's full of great joy. It's filled with all sorts of challenges, both good, bad, and indifferent. But we all have a race. And if we have begun in Christ Jesus, we have begun a race. And this race is to be run. If we can get it in our soul, individually, without overcomplicating it, because I don't need to make that mile run, those four laps around the track, regardless of how much time it takes me, I don't need to make it more than what it is. It's a one-mile track. I'm to run 1 mile today. I'm not running two. The coach didn't ask me to do two. He asked me to run five. He didn't ask me to do anything I couldn't do, as long as I was willing. What I need to do is run it and lay aside anything and everything that will stop me from running this race. Please listen to me tonight before I move on to some other things here that are, the gist of it is in these two verses of Scripture. If you can just simply grab it and not do what a lot of people in life are doing today. They're overcomplicating everything. It says to the people of God, this is not written to non-people of God, wherefore, seeing we also, flowing from chapter 11, we also come past about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We're not alone. Look, if you have the Lord on your side, you're not alone. And if that's not enough for you, then somewhere you're not praying enough to get that that's not enough. I know it's not a people thing, but if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got a comforter, you've got a helper, you've got a guide, you've got peace that passes understanding, you've got love, genuine, that can love you when you can't love yourself. Don't tell me that you don't have enough when you've got God. Look, there just comes a point in time you either got to look to some people in the face and say, what are you talking about? What are you thinking about? Don't tell me that the Lord on your side is not enough. He's greater than any companion you could ever have. He's greater than any company of people you could ever be in. He's the solvent every problem you've got. And we are compassed about not only with the Spirit of God himself, for it is written that the Lord will encamp around about them that fear him. I'm simply saying to you tonight, have you ever had a prayer time where God made it aware to you that you were surrounded by the best and the very best of the best? Did you feel lonely? Did you feel discomforted? Did you feel neglected or forsaken when he was surrounding you at that moment? No. Nothing's changed. He's still there. But we are compassed about with God, and we are also compassed about with the cloud of witnesses that God has created. So please hear me tonight. That the reason we have 66 books is because God wanted to keep you surrounded for the rest of your life, because he knew that every life that lives and encounters the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to need this word of God to remind them of how surrounded they are with so great a cloud of witnesses that will be their cheering section so that they can finish their race. Praise God. That's simple enough. So that if we ever use an excuse of why we can't, we're without excuse. Because he's given us so much can. Hallelujah. Let me just go over some of these verses real quick, and then we're going to go to Matthew. Listen to what it's saying. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, seeing that we are, then let us lay aside the weight and the sin that will keep me from running my race. We all have a race. And again, don't make it more complicated than what it is. It's special. It's awesome. But we need to run it. I can't worry about somebody else on the track. They're running. I'm glad they're there. At least I've got some company once in a while. But I'm on the track. There comes a point in time in John 21 where Peter has to stop worrying about John's end and just be concerned about his own. Because that's how we are. The Lord speaks to Peter concerning his death and how he should glorify God. And he turns and looks at John and says, well, what about this man? Jesus said, what is that to you? I just said something to you. Worry about you. If I will that he tarry till I come. He didn't say he wouldn't die. He just said, what is that to you? Why are you worrying about John? See, sometimes people worry too much about other things beside themselves. They're worrying about other people. They're mindful about other things that they shouldn't be mindful of. Please understand the lesson tonight. There's a time when we are mindful of other people in the kingdom especially. We pray for them. We bear one another's burdens. We go to prayer. We mourn with them that morn. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about when we are distracted from our own race. And we are not running our race with patience that is set before us. I can't run your mile for you. You've got to run your own. I can encourage you to run your mile. I can do everything I can to make sure you're still on that track, running your race, that you haven't fallen by the wayside and you're not out in the bushes somewhere, or you're not trailing so far back that there's obvious evidence that I'm not going to make it. You won't see me cross that finish line. I might be tempted to just slow my pace up a little bit and to where I can just grab a hold of you and try my best. But ultimately, you've got to be the one that says, I'm going to run my race. Praise the Lord. I cannot make anybody else run their race. And I cannot allow my race to be hindered by what they are doing or not doing at the same time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because sometimes, oh, hallelujah, go ahead and worship him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because unfortunately, sometimes some are not going to run. And I can't do anything about that. I am not called to be God. I'm called to be a child of God. I'm called to run a race. I'm called to pray for all. Sometimes all we can do is pray for the other runners on the track. Sometimes we can't grab them and go. They have to make the decision that they're going to go for themselves. That's why I talked earlier about pampering. So we lay aside things. Look, you've got to get it in yourself. I've got to get it in myself that if anything is in my way, it's an attitude or something else, whatever it might be, if there's something in my life that's going to hinder my ability to run, then it's up to me to remove it so I can run. And I want to run joyfully, and I want to run peacefully, and I want to run with strength. I don't want to run with the attitude of barely making it. Like I'm running on glass and nails, and life's always bad, and this Christian walk is so difficult. And I don't want to run with a pessimistic attitude. I want to run with the idea I'm going to cross that finish line. I'm going to finish this mile before the period's over. Praise the Lord. And we get chances to run this race, and if I don't finish it in the time frame I think I could have, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to beat myself over the head as long as I'm on that track. And as long as I'm still running, I'm going to finish my race. Hallelujah. And while I'm running, I'm looking unto Jesus. So listen to the flow of the scripture. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because if I get my eyes off of whom I need to look at, because he's already on the finish line, and I need to keep my eyes set on the finish line for the one who's saying, come on. If I look to the left and if I look to the right, I'm going to get distracted. And I can't get distracted. Look, there just comes a time you've got to get a resolve deep in your spirit that will not waver. My faith will not waver. I'm running my race. I want everybody to go with me, but if they don't all go with me, I'm running my race. I'm not cold-hearted, but I'm running my race. Hallelujah. I've got to run my race. I've got to live for God. Have that in you because it will rescue you from those moments when things happen to get you down, to slow you down, and to keep you from finishing your course. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. We're going to go to Matthew in just a moment. I'm trying to hurry here. I didn't mean to stay in here too long, but listen to this. Who for the joy that was set before him. It's important to understand, and we're going to read it in just a moment, that there's a cross. There was a cross that was his cross, not yours. Jesus said, whither I go now, you cannot come, but afterwards you'll follow. You'll take up your cross and follow me because your cross is not my cross. And my cross isn't what I think sometimes my cross is. My cross, if you want to look at it, is my time on the track with him.
Hallelujah.
It is my being crucified unto the world and the world crucified unto me. Because as long as that stays true, I can run on the track. I can run and finish my race and finish it with patience. Because patience is going to keep me there running. Amen. My cross I bear is my walk. That involves both death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. Who for the joy set before him singularly endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross, for it is written, cursed is every man that is hung on a tree. But because of what was before him, what he was opening up, what he was going to accomplish, what he had come to fulfill. I could continue saying on and on and on, and I'm not trying to talk too fast here tonight. I'm just trying to say he endured. He endured for what was set before him, and he despised whatever it was that would try to stop him. I need to be able to reach a place of not being kicked around by stuff that's trying to stop me, and I need to despise the stuff that's trying to stop me. And even though he was willing to go through what he went through, as we'll read in just a moment, he was willing to do it and endure it by choice and despise anything that would make it look otherwise. He was put to an open shame, but he despised that shame because what was set before him was greater than the shame. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew 26, let's go there and I'll try to. Just hang on here for a minute because it's something I'm trying to express and I wanted to get it across in the right spirit so that I'm not misunderstood here tonight. If we are to win people to God, we must be one to God. If we're going to help people run a race, we must be running our race. And we must be unshakable, unmovable. As he is, so are we in this world. If God is love, then we are the love that God is, not the love that we're trying to transform his love into. Love doesn't cause you to go out and continually get beat up. All right. Maybe that made sense. Maybe it did not. Matthew 26, verse 1 and 2, we're going to start and then jump down. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He just got done saying a lot of things. A lot of things have happened in this week leading up to his death. But he stops for a moment, and he says something to some men, because he'd already told them. From the time that Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, he began to reveal to them that he should suffer and be crucified. But we don't always get what he says. Even on this side of Calvary, even after being born again, where we have a more inept ability to get what he says, sometimes even we lack understanding. But he still says what he says. And his journey that he was on, whether we understand it or not, is still going to be his journey that he's on and his journey that he stays on. So remember that. He's still going to, obviously he stayed on that journey no matter what he faced, no matter who understood it or didn't understand it, he stayed the course. He did not waver. Watch. So he's saying something that these guys are going to express. They really don't know. But they did know because he told them. He told them even though he knew they wouldn't quite get it. Don't be afraid to say stuff, teach stuff, live stuff, and don't be over worried about whether or not people get it. Let me say that one more time and we'll jump down. Some of us worry too much about whether people get what we say or live or not. We're taking too much time to be overly concerned about something we should not be overly concerned about. Ultimately, whether they get it or they don't get it, do you get it? And are you going to continue on your path? Or is their not getting it going to cause you to slow down on the track? Or even step off the track? Or even say, what's the use? That can't be in my vocabulary. It can't be in my spirit. Even if I get hurt. Even if my emotions get hurt. My feelings get hurt. I get disappointed. A circumstance might discourage me. And I might just say, man, I just you know, why don't I just resign? This pastoring stuff is not for me. Not saying I've ever thought that. But we can all sink low. Jesus told them something. You know that after 2 days the feast of the Passover and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Let's jump down to, I believe, verse 36 and let's just get into it. 8:30, doing all right. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Now they all have finished telling the Lord that they will never be offended in him. Peter, he will never deny him. They all said it, we'll never forsake you. But Jesus told them they would. He comes to Gethsemane and says, sit here and while I go and pray yonder. God has a way of taking you to a place where he can reveal to you, you have more mouth talk than do talk. We can never outwit him. Now, he's not doing it to slam us or to make us feel bad. There are just times when the Lord knows how to bring us into a place on this track where we can see whether or not we have more than what we say we have. Or not. And he took with them Peter, James, and John, and he went further from the rest and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther. Because when you're on your journey, sometimes you have to go a little farther than the rest. And if you do, then you shouldn't get all bent out of shape over it. Just go a little further. And don't look around and say, well, they all should be going further too. No, they shouldn't. You worry about you. And just make sure if you're going to, by choice, go a little further, then go a little further. And don't worry about those who aren't. Not your place, not my place. Even as a pastor, it's not my place. Praise the Lord. I don't have any hair as it is. Brother Tim and I, we understand this. But I'm not going to allow myself to lose more of it by doing something that I should not do even as a preacher. Even a preacher has to protect his own soul and make sure he stays on the track. I want to go to heaven too, you know. And if I allow myself to be burdened to the degree where I become discouraged and fall off the track, then somewhere I've done something that I shouldn't have done. He said, so tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Remember, this is his journey. This is his course. He was the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. He was everything that every ounce of 39 epistles of the first covenant and everything related to it were. He was the embodiment of all that is holy and righteous and true. But he was there in the form of a man because man was there to pay a penalty for men, holy for unholy. But in his humanity, he knew what was coming. He knew. It wasn't a surprise. He didn't suddenly go to Gethsemane just to pray, and all of a sudden he got discovered, oh, I'm supposed to die. What's up with that? And then had this huge struggle as if he didn't know. Yeah. When you follow God, you know enough. Some people act surprised. They go through stuff. What happened? Well, they do. You're laughing because you know. We get all shocked. Why? Because we faced a problem. Or even something deeper than a problem, we find that on this track, God leads us to a place called Gethsemane. A place of not my will, but your will be done. It's a place where we shut up and we listen up. It's a place where we ditch all the not-to-dos and we learn how to become a doer. Because Gethsemane is all about yielding to the do. It's all about fulfilling the work of God and the word of God in my life. Praise the Lord. Please hear what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Jesus was surrendering for something he had to do. The others, whether they understood it or not, were not there to do what he was there to do. They were along for the ride. But it was about him fulfilling the word of God in his life. Right. And it's about you fulfilling the word of God in your life. It's not about everybody else. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's clap our hands and love him a moment. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus, help me. I'm trying to hurry. I know I've been a little bit, but we're still in okay time, I think. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't expect everybody to understand why you're doing what you do. Jesus did not make them understand. Okay, let's read. Watch. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, verse 38, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Don't be surprised. Don't overthink this. He was a man, and he was going to pay a penalty for all of humanity. So you might would have had a problem too. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? What was he saying? A few minutes ago, you were all talking about how we are at your side. And so he was, watch what he was expressing. Now, he didn't walk up to them and boot them in the head, did he? He didn't go out there and give them a lecture. I told you to pray. Watch and pray. This is why. This is what happens when you don't watch and pray.
Were you in church last night? Didn't you hear the preacher?
No, I don't read that. I don't read where he's reaching for the anxiety pill box. And I don't read where he's like, well, look at that. I haven't even been gone for 30 minutes and they're already asleep. They're not watching with me. He didn't go back, and I don't read where he left them. And well, let me finish what he's reading. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch. The spirit indeed is willing. What was he saying? You're all talk, but the flesh is weak. That's what he was saying. He was recognizing everything they had just said, and he was commenting about it. He was recognizing the reality of where they were. They couldn't do any more than what they were doing. We need to stop expecting more out of people who can't give more. If you can give more, you give more and stop worrying about whether or not they can. He was not hating them. He was not rebuking them. He was acknowledging the truth. And Gethsemane revealed that they were willing, but they didn't have the do behind the willing. But if you forward 100 days past this moment, long time ago, they were willing, and they were obedient, and they were bold, and they were strong, and then they were standing in front of the same guys that crucified Jesus, and they weren't moving. They weren't slicing people's ears off. They were standing in the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. They were standing redeemed. Amen. They were standing there as children of the Most High God. They said, look, we've begun a race, and we're going to finish the race no matter what you saps say about it. Praise the Lord. And we're here to testify unto you that we are witnesses of his resurrection. Hallelujah. But that hadn't happened yet. Jesus knew it would, and he knew that it would count on him running his race that was set before him. Hallelujah. The joy set before him is deeper than just you and me. The joy set before him is the joy we're filled with. When is it inside of us that we can become willing to do what we must do so that what we know will get in those that need to know? Watch. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, notice the change in words. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And I had to stop. And we've said these things in time past. I'm going to repeat them because I feel like we're in a time where this needs to be said so that our mindset in church growth is where it should be, so that we're as patient as we need to be with those who are asleep. If you're asleep spiritually and you don't get half the stuff I'm saying, I'm glad you're here. Would you still be here even if you're asleep? I'm talking about in your understanding, in your ability to really perceive and know the things of God. I can't expect new people to know what some of us know who have been around a long time. If you're new in serving God, I expect you to be new serving God. I'm not over-expecting anything. I'm just happy every time you're there and that you're growing, and I just want to be able to look on the track and say, yep, they're running. I don't care if you're doing the old people thing. Just be on the track. Look, I don't care if you're moving with a walker with wheels. I just want you on the track. Be there. I promise you, I'm not going to boot the thing out from under you. I'm not going to get mad saying, well, you should be going. Some people can do a 7-minute mile. Others people do a 40-year one. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, we laugh in church. It's all right. Got to laugh. Too many serious people on this planet. Lacking common sense, and they're just edgy about everything. Everything. Color, names. Hi, how you doing? What's so good about it? People are just a walking freak show in our today. They need us. They need us to be running a race. That's right. And living for God and doing what we need to do, because they're going to need what we are about to do. Amen. Just be on the pad. Be on the racetrack, would you? And we'll be happy. But we need to get this in our hearts so that we're not where we're not supposed to be. See, churches don't have cliques. We're the best. We're the 7 mile people. 7 minute a mile people. And then the others are the runner ups. We're the 12 minute per mile people. You know, I'm holier than you are. Come not near me. I don't want you messing up my 7 minute mile. You get that way, you're not even on the track. You already stepped off. There's no holier than now on this track. There's only holiness unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Because his holiness is my Gatorade. Praise God. His righteousness is my body armor. It's another drink. It's my hydration drink that keeps me hydrated and able to run my race. God wants us to run the race that we have to run. He wants us there. And those testimonies and those things that can pass us about are those things that keep us. It's that choir egging us on. Not only do we have, we've got like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah. They're all on the sidelines. And they've all got, you know, Gatorade. And anytime we need it, we just reach over. And Jacob just says, oh, here you go, you know. I mean, they'll even pour it in for us. Like they do the sports guys, you know. They're too lazy to grab their own. Oh, what, these guys make millions of dollars? What's up with that? What happened to your hands? You catch footballs, but you can't grab your own Gatorade? I mean, there are people paid to pour it in their mouth. That's impressive. I'd like to be one of those guys. Probably make more than I make a year. What do you do? I pour Gatorade in people's mouths. Went to college for it, too. All right, I'm just having fun. I'm not. They can do whatever they want. I'm having fun. If you're a football player, I'm having fun. If you don't like it, then handle your own Gatorade. Thank you, Jesus. You get paid enough. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Why did he say this? This is what I want to point out to you tonight. Thank you for enduring all my funniness here. He just saw something that changed what he said the first time. Be careful that we don't just get it fixed in our mind that he planned to go back 3 times and he had everything fixed to say. Now remember, the other epistles testify that he was in such an agony that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. It wasn't blood, but he was agonizing, surrendering. Remember, the scripture says in Philippians 2 that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that took some strong crying and tears. As the other passage says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. But he submitted and he humbled himself to that suffering. So coming from this initial moment of agony and surrender and feeling the pains of death that he was about to face, knowing that this is why he was born, he would later, the next day, tell Pilate, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So he said, I was born to die, in other words. And except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Much fruit. But it didn't mean it was easy. There was a struggle. There was a surrender. So he's coming back from however long he... The scripture doesn't say how long he was there. We read it in a single verse and think he was just there for a minute. When was the last time you agonized in prayer and you were there for a minute? So he was there a while, and he came back long enough for these guys to fall asleep. So just step into the moment a little, live it a little, think about it, expand yourself, and realize he's coming back with bloodshot eyes, worn out in his humanity. Remember, he said, my soul is sorrowful, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, groaning within his spirit. Have you ever been there concerning things you've been through? Have you ever just been on your face and crying in strong tears, groaning before God, sometimes just mumbling because the agony was so great? And he's coming back to these guys. I can almost picture the Lord You know, he's not running back saying, oh, you're asleep, I knew it. Carnal slobs. Ask you to show up for church early for prayer, and where are you? No, that wasn't his attitude. I'm not throwing a cheap shot at anyone. I'm just bringing it up. No, I could see him sort of just, you know, walking slow. It's all on his mind. He's crying. His nose is running. He's been in deep prayer, and he sees them asleep. At a moment when maybe it would have been great if at least they were up praying, calling upon Jehovah God. That would have made him feel better. But even when he didn't have it, and even when the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God was so real that they couldn't see it, it still didn't stop him. It made him more determined. And that's what I'm trying to lead up to here with all my going on and on here, was to simply say, when we see stuff we don't like, when people don't get it, does that make you want to quit or run a little faster? Does it make you more determined to pray and seek God and see this thing happen, or does it make you want to resign? Oh, hallelujah. God help it get in our soul that when we're surrounded by dozens of people who don't get it, that it'll make us more determined to have church like we've never had church before, prayer meetings like we've never had before. Praise the Lord. More preaching, more powerful word of God, more powerful testimonies. Music that just grabs the soul and pulls them to the altar of repentance. In other words, that the lack of understanding and people not getting it will not cause us to have a bad spirit. It will cause us to go again, praise the Lord, and go again, and go again, and pray, Lord, if I've got to go through this, your will be done. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You understand? So Jesus is being fueled by them, realizing that I've got to go through with this. Stop getting mad at people. He didn't get mad at them. He didn't hate them. He didn't go back the second time and say, send your legions. I'm done. They're not worth it. They can't even stay awake an hour and pray with me. I've been telling them over and over again that Acts 2:38 is what they need to obey, and they can't hear it. They can't see it. I've been telling them over and over again for a long time, I'm going to be crucified. And there they are asleep. Oblivious. Even after his death, they were oblivious. Even with him standing there after his resurrection, they were oblivious. And yet he still poured out the Holy Ghost in spite of them all. There's something about that joy. Jesus knew when these ignorant men that I've chosen out of this world are filled with this joy, it'll change everything. Hallelujah. 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 God help us go the distance. Watch, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, and he left them and went away again. He left them and went away again. And prayed the third time, saying the same words. Didn't say he skipped church on a Thursday night. It said he went away from them again because their sleepiness didn't stop his prayerfulness. And I thank God for that. We got to get inside of us a non-stoppable attitude and a nature and a spirit because we have it. If you're born of God, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name, you've got it. All you've got to do is stir it up. Stop living your life, sucking your thumb, feeling sorry for yourself. You don't have time for that. Just brush yourself off if that's what you're doing out there. And just say, I'm going to live for God.
bad things are going to happen. People are going to live. People are going to die. Things are not going to go your way. It's all part of the race. People are not going to live for God. They're going to walk away. They're going to backslide. It's just the nature of it. It happens in every century. It happened to these guys. We are no greater than them. But they didn't stop being apostles of the Lamb. They didn't stop living for God. They didn't stop pressing toward the mark. Paul had to see people that he labored for walk away from God. John had to write and say, they went out from us because they were not of us, and call them all antichrists. Did they cry over it? Yes. But they kept running their race. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, he's worthy. Then, I hope I'm not too loud here. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, watch, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners, whether you understand that or not. The word of God will not stand still for you. Listen to me very carefully what I mean. The fulfilling of the word of God will not stand still for any one of us. What God has promised from our standpoint going forward, that's in motion. That will not stop, even if you do. So their not getting it didn't stop it from happening. So let me say it one more time for you. If other people don't get it, why are you stop happening? You're not supposed to stop happening because they don't get it. There's something inside of us that is moving and happening. Our happening continues, even when they don't get it. Isn't that right? I don't care how many people we talk to, how many people we reach out for, how many we expect to come to church. I don't care how fast those that do come to church get it or don't get it. We're still happening. We're still happening because they're going to get it. They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to be buried by baptism into death. They're going to grow in grace and knowledge. They're going to find what you have found. They're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we will not give up on them, but at the same time, if we will not quit walking for them when they can't walk for themselves. Hallelujah. So he said, sleep on now and take your rest. Then he said, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So he's interesting two words in one sentence. Sleep on, get up. But you understand what he's saying? Something that we say when people are sleeping towards the things pertaining to God. We say, sleep on, now let's keep going together. Because some people on the track are sleeping. They've stepped onto the track and say, I want to be part of this. They may not get it. They may not have understanding. They may not be fully converted yet. But we can't say sleep on and then leave them. It's sleep on, fine, be what you are. Now let's get going. I believe 80% of the time of the pulpit, from the time it begins for a soul until the time that they grow old and die, or Jesus comes to take us all home, is spent saying, rise, let us be going. One more thing here tonight in closing. On the note of individuals that can sometimes get our attention. In 1 Kings 19, we find the prophet Elijah sulking. And he's disappointed because all of Israel didn't turn to God with that great spectacular display on Mount Carmel. Hundreds of prophets of Baal he slew with the sword afterwards. I mean, a miracle of God. The fire fell. It ate up the sacrifice. It licked up the rocks, the altar, all the water. I mean, Elijah was so confident. He knew whom he had believed. And we know this is it. This is the whole message is like Elijah just in this one lesson. He's on his way. He's Elijah. Trusting God, the prophet of the Lord, not afraid to speak the truth. Demonstrating and just show how good God really is. And all that great miracle. And all he gets was an email saying, we're going to kill you tomorrow. if there's ever a time where you and I can get disappointed, it's when we pour out our soul, we live for God, we reach out, we just have a blowout church service, and we get met with Jezebel right after. It's kind of like somebody popped our water balloon, you know? Just poof. It's kind of like, you know, the... And so that sent Elijah on a journey of sulking. Nothing worse than seeing somebody sulk on the track. Can you imagine the look of that? Imagine him running on the track. This is what Elijah must have looked like running on that track after that moment. I mean, before he was like booking it. You know, outrunning the chariot of Ahab after all that. I mean, because the abundance of rain came after that sacrifice. And the Lord had just came upon Elijah and he outran the chariot. So he was booking his mile. I mean, he's a bionic man. All of a sudden, he's there by the gate and the old Ahab pulls up and says, "How'd you get here so fast? Man, don't you know I do that 1 minute mile thing?" But afterwards, Elijah was on the track. They hurt my pride. I'm Elijah. This is Pentecostal people to a T. Sunday night, woo! Monday morning, woo! In church, woo! The Lord got tired of all that. And he appeared to Elijah in the cave and said, what's this all about? I mean, he said it like, what are you doing here? My way of saying is, what's this? You know, I'm the only one. When you get in that mindset, you need to go to the altar real quick and get rid of it as fast as you possibly can because you are not the only one. And Elijah's mind was on all the people who didn't understand. All the sleepers. All the people that don't understand. I told you over and over and over again. I'm going to be crucified. You can't even stay awake and pray. All that great sacrifice and miracle of God, fire fell. I ran my minute mile. And then I get met with a bunch of unrepentant people who reject the word of God. And he's like, I'm the only one that wants to live for you, serve you, I love you, I do everything. That's what he was doing. He was saying, I preached, you know, I prayed, I slew all those prophets for you, I did all this for God. And they don't want to serve you. And the Lord said, well, let me tell you, Elijah, what's on my mind. On your mind are thousands of people who don't want to live right. On my mind are 7,000 who will never bow their knee to Baal. What's his mind on? On the ones who are not bowing. What's your mind on? I'm on the minds of those who are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm on the minds of those who are living for God. I'm not worried about those who are not. I'm not worried about those who aren't here. I'm happy about those who are. Let's all stand. I got to stop. Let's love him. Let's stand. Let's love him. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' mind was on fulfilling the word of God, not on the sleepyheads. Because he would have never fulfilled it had he allowed that to stop him. Praise God. When you go back and read that whole passage, you'll see how God just sort of twisted Elijah's mindset back so that he could get back on track. Because it was a short distance from that moment where the chariot of fire came to get him. And for a few minutes, he jumped off the track, sat in a cave and pouted. Hallelujah. We don't belong in caves. The anointing doesn't belong in a cave. We don't have a right to sulk. We take the right, but realistically, we don't have the right. It's not our gospel. Not our church. Were you born with the word of reconciliation? Did you invent it? I welcome anyone who needs to pray tonight to come and pray as we close. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me the extra time here tonight. But if you need to, let's pray and let's ask God in this next wave of things that we'll do things differently so that we can see some souls be able to live for God among us and not be destroyed by us. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, help us tonight, God. Would you hear and accept the prayer of this people to talk to our life and our spirit and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, bring everybody forward. Help us to run this race. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Lord, help our soul, Lord, to be God in the right place. Hallelujah, help our soul to be in the right place, our attitude to be in the right place. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. And one more thing here. We're going to have a word of prayer for some tonight that needs us to pray. And one more thing I meant to say. I'm going to say it now if it helps you. Let your walk with God be what God makes your walk with God. Don't make your walk more than what it should be. I hope that makes sense. Some people feel like they need to, in other words, this is maybe a good example. Some people feel like in order to feel like they're partaking of the sufferings of Christ, they need to go build themselves a wooden cross and walk through town dragging it. That's putting more on themselves than they should. Especially if some of them won't even obey the gospel. What good did it do them? Don't make your walk more. You're not the Christ. So don't put on your shoulders things that are on his shoulders. Just live for God. Live for God. That's what it's all about. Walk with God. Serve God. No matter what you do in life, just live for God. And whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord. Whether you work for a living, you own a business, or you're an entrepreneur, you go to school. Whatever you are, a homemaker, live for God and let your essence be, I want to live for Jesus. And let that be your concern. Praise God. And then pray for those who need your prayer. Because if you're running your race, then you're in better position to pray for those who are just limping along. And your prayer will help them speed up. Amen. Let's pray. We're going to pray for Sister Pat. We're going to pray for Sister Tammy. They've lost some pets this week. And there's nothing that can become more dear to us than a pet. But the spirit of that pet's in the hands of God who gave it. And we're going to pray for those who are left behind. Amen, because we all need comfort when we lose things, don't we? And God is a God that cares, and some things just affect us and bother us. And please understand, God's well aware of it, and he cares. God, we pray for your people. We pray for these individuals that God, you comfort them and strengthen them. And when we don't understand why some things happen the way that they do, and we just thank you for what time we had. We thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for, Lord, the good times, and we pray for strength as we go forward to just have a bright outlook and an encouragement to know that everything's okay. At least our pets didn't die lost and go to hell. Praise God. Their life returned to the one who blessed them with it. And we give you thanks and bless every soul in this house and every soul that's watching still in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.